Richard's head was spinning. Warren, that can't be true. It can't. He tried desperately to think of proof. Pasha. Pasha could only be... Richard, I've known Pasha for over 100 years. Richard slid the chair back and stood. He raked his fingers through his hair. That doesn't make any sense. It has to be some kind of... Why would it work like that? Warren took Richard's arm and sat him down. He pulled his own chair close. He spoke in a soft, concerned voice, as one would when breaking calamitous news to someone.
It takes a long time to train a wizard. Outside, in the rest of the world, over 20 years had gone by before I was even able to touch my Han. But because I live here, I had aged less than 2 years. 20 years had passed here, too, but I aged only 2. If the palace did not slow our aging, we would all die of old age before we could even light a lamp with our Han. I've never heard of it taking less than 200 years to train a wizard. Commonly, it takes near to 300, and sometimes even as much as 400. The wizards who created this place knew that, and so they tied the magic here to the worlds beyond, where time is meaningless. I don't know how it works, just that it does.
Richard's hands shook.
But I have to get this collar off. I have to get to Kaelin. I can't wait that long. Warren, help me. I can't wait that long.
Warren glanced to the floor.
I'm sorry, Richard. I don't know how to get our collars off, and I don't know how to get by the barrier that keeps us here. I know how you feel, though. It drove me into the vaults for the last 50 years. Some of the others don't seem to care and say that it just gives them more time with women.
Richard slowly rose.
I can't believe it.
Warren turned his face up.
Richard, please forgive me for telling you. I'm sorry I was the one to hurt you. You've always been...
Richard put a hand to Warren's shoulder.
It's not your fault. You didn't do it. You simply told me the truth.
His voice felt as if it were coming from the bottom of a well.
Thank you for the truth, my friend.
All he could think, as his feet shuffled toward the door, was that his dreams were all dying. If he couldn't get the collar off, everything would be lost. Sisters Ulyssia and Fenella both stood in warning as he came through the doors. They backed away the same as the guards had when they saw the look on his face. A sparkling shield went up before the door. He went through it without slowing. The door beyond burst open for him without him touching it, part of the frame splintering. It somehow never occurred to him to use the knob. The prelate was sitting with her hands folded on the heavy walnut table. Her solemn eyes watched him come. Richard pressed up against the table, towering over her.
I must admit, Richard, she said in a somber tone, that I have not been looking forward to this visit.
His straining voice broke.
Why didn't Sister Verna tell me? I ordered her not to.
And why did you not tell me?
Because I wanted you first to learn some significant things about yourself, so you would be better able to understand your importance, the burden of a wizard, and of a prelate, too.
Richard sank to his knees before her desk.
Anne, he whispered, please help me. I must have the Rata Han off. I love Kaelin. I need her. I need to get back to her. I've been gone a long time. Please, Anne, help me take the collar off.
She closed her eyes for a long moment. When they opened, they were heavy with regret.
I spoke the truth, Richard. We cannot get the Rata Han off until you learn enough to help us. That will take time.
Please, Anne, help me. Isn't there any other way?
Slowly, her eyes staying on his, she shook her head.
No, Richard. Over time you will come to accept it. They all do. It is easier for the rest because they came here as boys, not understanding, and grasp it only over time. We have never had to tell one grown like you who could understand the significance.
Richard couldn't make himself think clearly. It felt as if he were stumbling in a dark dream.
But we'll lose so much time together. She will be old.
Everyone I know will be old.
Anne smoothed her hair back as she averted her eyes.
Richard, by the time you are trained and leave here, the great, great, great grandchildren of everyone you know will have died of old age and been buried in the ground for over 100 years.
He blinked at her, trying to comprehend the math of the generations involved, but it all turned to mush in his mind. He suddenly remembered what Shota had warned him of, a trap in time. This was that trap. He had been stripped of everything by these people. Everything he loved was gone. He would never see Zed again, or Chase, or anyone he knew. He would never hold Galen again. He would never be able to tell her that he loved her, that he understood the sacrifice she had made for him. Chapter 63. Richard looked up from where he sat on the floor to see Warren in the doorway. He hadn't heard the knock. When he said nothing, Warren rushed over and squatted down beside him.
"Listen, Richard, something you said made me think. You said that you were going to wed the Mother Confessor."
Richard's mind came out of the daze, and his eyes suddenly came up.
"The prophecy is about her, isn't it? The prophecy you said would come on winter solstice."
"I think it might be, but I don't know enough about her, about confessors, to tell. Does the Mother Confessor wear white?"
"Yes. The confessors are born to find the truth. She is the last one."
"Richard, I think that is good news. I think she is to find happiness and bring it to her people on winter solstice."
Richard remembered the vision he had had in the Tower of Perdition. He remembered the horror of what he had seen. The words Kaelin had spoken were burned into his memory. He quoted it to Warren.
"Of all there were, but a single one born of the magic to bring forth truth will remain alive when the shadow's threat is lifted. Therefore comes the greater darkness of the dead. For there to be a chance at life's bond, this one in white must be offered to her people to bring their joy and good cheer."
"Yes, that's it. I believe that the greater darkness means both the keeper and winter solstice. I think that means... Richard, where did you read that prophecy?"
"I didn't read it. It was brought to me in a vision of her."
Warren's eyes grew big, the way they tended to do when he was astonished.
"You had a vision of prophecy?"
"Yes. She brought me the words and also brought a vision of what it means."
"What does it mean?"
Richard brushed at his pant leg.
"I can't tell you. She said that I could speak the words, but not of the vision."
"I'm sorry, Warren, but I dare not violate that warning without knowing the consequences. But I can tell you that the results of this prophecy coming true would not be joyful for her or for me."
Warren considered a moment. "Yes, you are right."
He looked over out of the corner of his eye.
"Richard, there is something about prophecy I think I should tell you. Hardly anyone knows this, but the words don't always reflect the true intent."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, a few times when I have read prophecies, I've had a vision. The vision turns out to be true, and so does the prophecy, but not in the way you would think from reading it. I believe that the true way prophecy is meant to be understood is through the gift, through the visions."
"Do the sisters know this?"
"No. I think this is what it means to be a prophet. Richard, if you had this vision and heard the words and saw the meaning, maybe that means you are a prophet."
"According to the prelate, I have a different talent. If she is right, then having the vision might just be part of my ability for what I truly am."
"Which is?"
"The prelate said I'm a war wizard."
His eyes widened again.
"Richard, war wizards have the gift for both magics. None with the gift for subtractive two has been born in thousands of years. Maybe the prelate is wrong."
"I hope she is, but it would explain some things. From what a friend of mine told me, additive magic is using what is, adding to it, multiplying it, altering it, the doing of things. Subtractive magic is the counter, the undoing of things. All the shields are put up by the sisters. They have only additive. Even those with the gift cannot easily go through them or break them because they also have only additive. Power against power. But somehow I'm able to walk right through the shields around here without even trying. Subtractive magic would explain that. Subtractive would counter the additive of the shields, undo it."
"But you said you tried to go through the barrier that keeps us from leaving. That's a shield too. Why can't you go through that shield then if you really have the subtractive?"
Richard lifted an eyebrow and leaned in.
"Warren, who put those shields in place?"
"Well, the ones who placed the rest of the magic of the palace, the wizards of old."
"Who you said had subtractive magic. That shield is the only one placed by them. It's the only one I can't go through.
It's the only one my subtractive magic, if I truly have it, wouldn't counter. See what I mean? Warren sat back on his heels.
Yes.
He rubbed his chin as he thought.
Well, that would make sense. It might fit with some of the prophecies about you, if you really are a war wizard and are the one born true.
And do these prophecies say I will prevail? Warren hesitated. He glanced over at the Sword of Truth lying on the floor nearby.
If I said White Blade, would that mean anything to you?
Richard let out a heavy breath at the memory.
I can turn the blade of my sword white, through magic.
Warren wiped his hand over his face.
And I think we might be in trouble. There is a prophecy that says, should the forces of forfeit be loosed, the world will be shadowed yet by darker lust through what has been rent. Salvation's hope, then, will be as slim as the white blade of the one born true.
Through what has been rent?
The open gateway, Richard said.
That would make the darker lust be the keeper.
Warren, I have to do something about the prophecy. The one about the one in white. It's important. Do you have any ideas?
Warren watched him as if trying to decide something. I do. I don't know if it will help.
He put weight on his hands as he rubbed them on his thighs.
They have a prophet here, at the palace. I've never seen him. I want to, but they won't let me. They say it's too dangerous for me to talk to him until I learn more. They promised that when I learn enough, they will let me talk with him.
Here, in the palace? Where?
Warren pulled a fold of his robes from under his knees.
I don't know. It would have to be one of the restricted areas, but I don't know which one, and I don't know how we can find out.
Richard stood.
I do.
Richard knew he had gone to the right guard when swordsman Kevin Andelmere turned white as a spirit at the mention of the prophet.